Good morning, good morning. So last week we did quite at length about how you're not supposed to curse the nasi, and we mentioned about giving the bikurim and the trumas in order. We did that Rashi. Now, I'm looking at the sheets, which ones we should do first. The truth is that we went through, and we went through, the order was that you first do bikurim, that's the fruits you bring up to Yerushalayim, then you give the truma, and then you give the ma'aser, which is to the kohen, then you give the ma'aser rishon to the levi, then you give the ma'aser sheni, like then you separate, or the ma'aser ani, right? So we said we're supposed to do it in order. When you have your crop, you have to make sure to separate them in that order. What I would like to do now, before we go back into the Chumash and go on to the next topic, I'm so sorry, this booklet, and it has also numbers on it, it's the Sefer HaChinuch. It has a number one, but a few of them do. But yeah, that one. So I just want to look through, I didn't have time to cut and paste, so we're just going to do parts of each page. And I'll just show you, no problem, a little bit in depth the meaning. First of all, the whole meaning behind the whole idea of giving truma to the kohen, ma'aser to the levi, as well as why it's so important to give it in a specific order. Okay, so number one on the first page. So this is taken from the mitzvahs in the Torah, so it goes through different parashiyos, but the mitzvahs I've chosen are these mitzvahs that are mentioned in a few different places. Okay, so firstly, as we always say, mishor shei ha-mitzvah. So this is talking about our mitzvah, which is to give it in the right order, the correct order to separate it. What's the difference which order you give it in? If you're giving everything, right, why does it matter? So here he explains something very interesting, I think it's a beautiful thought that applies to everything in life. He says, mishor shei ha-mitzvah, ki behe asay hadvarim al sidran. When we do things in their correct order, properly, lo yavai bahem ha'irbuv v'hatais, you don't get confused and you don't make mistakes. It's a very interesting thing, generally. Okay, start your day properly and then you don't forget important things. U'kasha'enot nasin, Cain, and if they're not done in that way, yihye hatos nimtza bahen tamid, then you will always find mistakes. So I guess the Sefer HaChinuch says Torah believes in organization. Things have to be done in their proper order. That ensures that it's done properly and it all gets done. Okay, so that's the first thing, why we do this. So even if there's no other reason, even if there's no other significance, just for that reason alone, it's worth it to do it in the proper order as the Torah dictates. Ubihiyais hatrumais v'hamaisreis, davar gadol b'kiyum hadas. And since the whole concept of truma, the presence for the kohen, and the maiser, which is both some for the kohen, some for the levi, and for the poor people, is a very, very important principle in our religion. It's something extremely important. K'may shenifarish be'ezuz Hashem, shenifarish be'ezuz Hashem b'seyde re'ev, as we will explain later, and I'm going to show you today, even though it's not our mitzvah, but he refers to it, what is so important about this mitzvah, and it is a very fundamental mitzvah, and because it's so important, Sivanu Hashem Yisbarech, Lihizoher Bohem Harbe. That's why Hashem has commanded us to be very, very careful. Shalai Lavai Becheshbainan Lidei Taos La'olam, that we should never make mistakes when we do this accounting. So it's something which, A, is so fundamentally important, and B, it is possible to make mistakes with it, especially, you know, counting and things which have numbers. And sometimes we can get a little bit confused. We can think we've done it and we haven't done it. We can give the wrong amount, whatever it may be. So because of that, the Torah says, do it in the right order. And as he says, he refers to the fact that there is also other reasons from Kabbalah, but he's not going to go into them, that tells us why we should do it in the proper order. And that is recommended. Let's go to page number two and understand what is so fundamental about this mitzvah. Why is it such an important mitzvah that this mitzvah, the Torah specifically highlights that we should do it in the proper order? Because really every mitzvah we should do in the proper order, but this mitzvah, for some reason, it highlights it more. So go to page number two.
Sorry, the order, is it also related to time factor or not?
Okay, so sometimes it is time, but it's more to do with what you do first. Yeah, because Bikurim is done at a certain time, so you would have to do that first. But it's more that you take that out of the crops first. Yes, and that's what you designate. Yeah. Okay, so let's see on page number two. I'm sorry, page number two, we're only doing the last two lines. Like I said, I didn't have time to cut and paste. So if you look at the bottom of page number two, where it says, Mishar Sheha Mitzvah, this is explaining the mitzvah of Maaser Rishon, right? The mitzvah of the Maaser, the tenth that we give to the Levi. It's on page number two, the last two lines. And what is the reason for this mitzvah? Lefi, or not the reason, but what's the root, what's the background, what's the deeper meaning? Lefi Sheshevet HaLevi Bachar Hashem, because the tribe of Levi was chosen from amongst his brothers, Hashem chose him to serve him tamid b'mikdash, constantly in the Beis HaMikdash. We know the tribe of Levi was designated to work in the Beis HaMikdash. The Al Kain, and therefore, so it's from, so to speak, a kindness to them, that what should we do? His loving kindness, and it's Hashem's loving kindness. Derech kavod, that they should receive their sustenance in an honorable way. Okay, let's see what an honorable way, and let's see why. Ki kein yeyus, because this is the proper thing, and go now to page number three. Page number three we'll do from the top. L'mishar se hamelech, this is proper for the one who is the servant of the king, you know, the nobleman who serves the king. Shatiya aruchasa mezumenes lahem, that their food and all of their needs should be prepared for them. Al yidei acherim, through others. Sheyachinuha lahem, that they should prepare it for them. Very interesting. This is not the usual. We, Hashem has given us that we have to work for our things. And we have to do, you know, we have to put all the effort if we want to eat. We have to work, we have to go buy the food, we have to prepare it. But the Levi, who is designated to serve Hashem, Hashem says, I want other people to prepare for him. And therefore he says, and what will happen as a result? They shouldn't have to work hard in this matter, in all their physical needs. Zulasi ba'avaydas ha-melech ha-yikara. Where will their effort go? Only in serving the king, so to speak, the honorable king. That's what they will be spending their time and devoting their attention to. The afal pi shehem hayu shneim asar shvatim. He addresses a very interesting question. We just take it for granted that we give a tenth. Why a tenth? We shouldn't have given the Levi a tenth. We should have given him a twelfth. He's only one out of the 12 tribes. And if everybody gives him a twelfth, he'll get the same, well, he'll get a whole, right? As we would think, as much as he would have gotten had he gotten his own portion. Why do we give a tenth? Well, it's an easier number, but that's not why. So here the Torah tells, the Sefer HaChinuch says a beautiful thing. He says, even though there's 12 tribes, Zulafi Chaluka Shava, if we would have wanted to divide things equally, Hayarai Sheyitlu Chelek Echad Mishnei Masar, he really should have taken one out of 12. Gamze Hayisrain Lahem Lechvaidam. A tenth is more than a twelfth. This is because this is honorable for them. This extra, it's a little bit extra, but it's still a little bit more, which means that the Levi is ending up getting more than me and you. Because if he gets from every tribe, he's going to get a little bit more than what we will get. And this is to honor the Levi. Because who does he serve? Ki mi yaisam mi beis hamelech. Because he's like a member of the king's household. He's like the royalty, so to speak. And since he is part of the palace, if you want to say, roi, shetia chelkam yisei ral kulam. So he should have a greater portion than everybody else. The yisrein gadol hu, sheyavi lahem chelek ha'asiri. And a very interesting thing, in addition, they even get an extra benefit. What's the extra benefit? That their tenth that they get, naki mikol haitzas hakarka, it's free from any of the expenses of the land. It's very interesting. When we separate that tenth, that's after we've paid the wages of the farmhands, and we've all the things that might have gone wrong with the rain, whatever it is, right? It's what we've actually produced. So he is not dependent on all the losses, so to speak. He only is getting from the gains. So that's even more benefit. And it's also part of the honor. What? That's right, part of that, exactly, that's the right word, at least part of the prophets. And this is an amazing honor for the Levi. This shows that we are truly honoring the Levi. It's very interesting because if we stop and think for a moment, the truth is in this world, nowadays especially, if somebody is dependent on handouts, they don't consider it honorable, right? So if we would be working in one field, and we depend on other people to support us, it's quite demeaning. It's very hard to ask other people for something, even though you're doing it for the other person and you know, but still, it's very difficult. It's so much more pleasant when you can be, so to speak, planting, plowing, and taking your seeds that you've worked hard and you feel you've earned. So it's very interesting how the Torah turns it the exact opposite way and tells us, and this is meant both for the levy and for the person giving, for the receiver and the giver, that the receiver shouldn't feel less than. He should know he's royalty. That's why Hashem doesn't want him to be working in the field. Why? Not that there's anything wrong with working in the field. The field is an honorable thing. But he has a different job. His job is to totally devote himself in the Beis HaMikdash. And for the giver, also not to feel better. He shouldn't feel better than the one he's giving to. He should realize that he is being given a privilege that he's able to support the one who is literally working for the king. So it's a very beautiful change of attitude that Torah wants to make sure that we have. It is so nice to see you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Elba. Oh, thank you, Elba. It's so good to see you.
Anyone, after paying all the sin, had to give a tenth of what was left. Mm-hmm. And it was run by center council, and that went to the poor, to the orphanage, to the hospital. You gave a tenth. Mm. So the wealthy tenth was that much. And if you didn't, you couldn't be buried. You weren't buried in the
cemetery. Wow, it's amazing. And that's why they got
people to do it. And my dad says that it came
from this idea
of the, because you didn't, they didn't want people who were poor to feel that their birth and whatever and affect their self-esteem and whatever, because they were for various reasons,
right.
And especially, and those people who were learning, what would they say, it didn't work and whatever, but they, and a tenth of your income, and if you didn't give it, and it wasn't run by the Jewish community, it was the council.
Oh, really?
Because the Jewish community knew who was who and he was he and whatever.
Oh,
so
wow.
It was run by an independent authority.
But was it only the Jews that gave the money, or this was
the Jews,
right?
It's incredible. The people who weren't, and it was quite a few towns like that in Poland. That way, nobody feels like demeaned. And you gave a tenth. You know, depending on what, if you're into a little, so you gave a tenth.
I think nowadays there are some communities in, like in Williamsburg, that have
such a good system.
It's a phenomenal system.
It's
a bit hard to compel everybody, but still, even if not, you'd still get. That's it. It would be a good incentive. That's right. Your choice, yes. It's an amazing thing. I think there are communities now that do that for education. I know that they have, where they also have, it's like a Jewish tax, if you want to say. That's the idea, really, where they have it, where the whole community gives, and then that way, everybody, it helps everybody pay their tuition. I've heard of a few, because otherwise it becomes, for some people, out of reach to send their child. It's just a beautiful idea.
And
it's a beautiful way of...
And that way there's no self-esteem affected, and it's done in the
fantastic.
Background. People, I think it's a great
system. It's a great system, yes. Do it again. I agree. Okay, I just wanted, that's fantastic. Let me just see we're on page number 3. So I'll show you something for the last bit, just to see what else he says about this. Page 3, beautiful. So, okay, so in the middle paragraph, so he continues, he says, V'hamichye mishor sehakel b'mamayin, amachaye, sorry, somebody who helps support and make live, the ones who serve Hashem with their money, and he says a beautiful, beautiful thing. This is a very, it's interesting, Chana, this in a way follows from what you're saying, a beautiful thing that I heard as a child. It's something different to normal, in the normal mitzvahs. Normally, when we do a mitzvah, we're told you do it because Hashem said so. There is a reward, but you shouldn't be thinking about the reward. Let's see over here with this mitzvah. This mitzvah has something unique, which is beautiful. And it says, Birchas Hashem Yizbarech Tanuach Alav. The blessings of Hashem will rest upon him, B'chol Asher Yeishlai, and everything that he has. It's the middle of page 3. V'zehu Amram Zechreinam Levracha. And that's what our rabbis teach us. Maisreis Siag La'osher. Giving Maiser is a fence for wealth, which means it ensures more wealth. It ensures you that you will earn more. Gam amru zechreinu l'vracha she'asur la'adam lachshev b'lvav v'leimer anase im yetiv Hashem libis aski b'mitzvaysav. We know there's a famous thing that a person should not say, I will test Hashem and see if I do a mitzvah, it will be good for me, right? That this benefit will happen. That's a general rule for mitzvahs, but there's one exception. And for this it says that you shouldn't test Hashem. Except zulasi b'mitzvah zu, except in this mitzvah. Shehutar, we are permitted linasais to test im yivarchehu akel basaisa, if Hashem will bless you when you do this, ubihiyaisai zoriz alaha, and not only will you do it, but you will do it with zrizus, which means you won't wait till they, you know, come pounding your door down, but you will hurry and do the mitzvah properly and give what you're supposed to give. And it's actually specifically stated according to the Nevi'im, Shenemar, Haviu es kol ha-maiser el beis ha-aitzer, you should bring all of your maiser, right, your tenths, to the treasure house. And the beautiful line, Ubechanuni na bezois, and test me with this. That's what Hashem says. Test me with this. Amar Hashem, hold me accountable. You will see that if you make a proper accounting and you take away your tenth, you will see that next year your earnings will not be less. If anything, they will be more. There's a famous story, I forgot to look it up in the Gemara. There's a story about a person who was a little bit, not stingy, but he was a bit nervous about it, and he gave less than a tenth, and every year he actually, after a while, he realized every year he was producing less and less and less and less, and it was in accordance to the amount that he took off, so to speak. And I forgot to look it up, I'm sorry, but it was so exact. Do you remember? It's a phenomenal story. Now, sometimes we don't see it as black and white as that, but the fact is, this is the mitzvah that it says, b'chanuni na b'zais. This is, it's actually, people extend it generally to tzedakah, not just to the tenth that we give, but it is, because we are meant at least to give a tenth of our earnings, and it's not so simple. When you tell people in the streets that that's what we do, they think you're crazy. I mean, who takes off, besides for the taxes that the government takes off, another tenth and sets it aside to give people for whatever needs in the community? This is such a Jewish thing, and yet Hashem says, yeah, you can test me. It's
good.
Sure,
you,
sure.
The tenth that you're supposed to give for tzedakah, let's say, is it before the...
I think it's after, but ask a shayla. Don't rely on me. I think it's after, but ask. It could be before, Lisa. I'm not sure. It could be before, but I think it's... But ask. There are people... It's interesting because in the Torah, there's a concept of giving a tenth, and then it says you can give up to a fifth. There are people that I know that are actually give... have a thing that they actually make an account, they give a fifth. Because it says not to give more than a fifth, because then that means you'll be left destitute and you'll need charity. So you have to also do it in a responsible way, where you ensure that you still have money left to live, obviously. But up to a fifth, and then there are people that are, yeah, it's an amazing thing. Well, yeah, we're meant to, but not everybody is able to. It's not, so sometimes it's very, very, it's very difficult. But at least a tenth you have to, yeah.
Choose the charity.
You can choose.
Now you can
Yeah. Well, you can choose, Rona, whatever you want to give to. That's your choice. You can set aside the money and give whoever you want, whatever you think. Oh, of course. There is precedence in charity, your own community, your own family, your own... Israel has a precedent. There's different things that have... Yeah, there are rules. But again, there are, but still, if a person has a certain thing that they really care about, they can give. You know, it's not like you can't... but it should be something... Yeah, not. I don't want to be whatever. I don't want to say something on the tape over here. I mean, like an art museum. I don't know if that's part of the, you know what I'm saying. It should be something worthwhile. you know. Yeah, I know. It's not easy now. It's
too late
to choose.
Once.
That's it. And then once you, then you're on their list. That's it. Okay. Let's go to page number four. Page number four, and we'll see the next, it's still a little bit more about this mitzvah. So here we're talking a very interesting thing. As we said last time, not only do we give to the Kohen, not only do we give to the Levi, but even the Levi, which is beautiful, also has to give to the Kohen. Remember, he has to take a tenth of what he gets and separate that for the Kohen. Okay, so let's see what he says. On page four, again, I'm sorry, it's the bottom. Mishorshe, the last paragraph. Mishorshe ha-mitzvah. So, as a depth to this mitzvah, and he gives first an introduction. Ein sofik, there is no doubt. Ki kol shevet ha-Levi hivdel Hashem me'adas Yisrael, avaydasay tamid. That the entire tribe of Levi, it's the bottom paragraph on page 4, the entire tribe of Levi was designated, was separated in order to serve Hashem constantly. Ve'amnam, but, b'shevet ba'atzmai, in the shevet itself, nivchar bahem echad. One part of the tribe was chosen over the rest of the tribe, even more unique, liyos lekulam lerosh ulekatzin ulesar, to be over everybody as a head, as an officer, as a prince. And we know which part of the tribe of Levi is that. Obviously, that's the Kohanim. So the Kohanim are also a part of, they're really Leviim, just like the Levi, but they are a special part of the tribe of Levi, and they are a prince even over the rest of their tribe. Therefore, he says, "Hu v'zarei lailam, he and his children forever, his descendants. For who kodesh mikudash, and he is, so to speak, holy, holy, designated b'shevet in the tribe, la'amay, to stand u'lesharis p'nei Hashem, to serve before God." On page 5, let's go now. We'll see page 5. Tamid, constantly. And then u'sha'ar kol ha'shevet nitan tachtav l'sayeya ba'avoida. The rest of the tribe has been given to, so to speak, assist him in his work. So the general Levim are sort of assistants to the Kayanim. U'kumay shekasav ha'yemar Hashem el Arayin. That's what the pasuk tells us. Hashem said to Aaron, "Ato ubanecha ubeis avicha, you and your children and the household of your father. In other words, your household. Tisu es oven amikdash. You will be the ones who carry, so to speak, the iniquity of the sanctuary. It means you are in charge. It is your responsibility to take the mishkan, to do everything. That's the kohanim. Klaimer ki kol hashevet yikabel shmiras amikdash. The truth is, the entire tribe actually has the responsibility to guard the mikdash, as he says, "Ato ubanecha itach, you and your children with you, tisu es avin kuhnaschem, should carry the iniquity of the kohanim," which means klaimar sheikar haavida dahainu hakahuna aleichem hi. So even though the entire tribe of Levi does serve in the Beis Hamikdash in the Mishkan, but the tribe, the specific family of Kohanim, have been separated from in amongst the tribe of the Levim to be the princes, if you want to say, the ones who have even more responsibility in a sense, and therefore they are more the leaders, if you want to say. Which means, as he says, Ksiv Basrei, and it says afterwards, V'gam esachecha mate Levi, shevet avicha, hakrev itach, v'yelavu alecha, and then it says, v'yishar sucha. The rest of the tribe will be with you, but they are there to serve you. So Levi, the rest of the tribe of Levi, is there to serve the Kohanim, just like we have to, so to speak, serve the tribe of Levi. So very interesting that the Kohanim are even elevated in amongst their own tribe, which is, as we know, they are like the highest in holiness in that sense. As he says, "V'klaimer sha'ata ha'ikar v'layhem." You are the main part and not them. In other words, you are, in the Kohanim, have a special something over all the rest of the Levim. V'chein kasav makam achem, that's also written in a different place. V'nasata salavim la'arein lulavanav nesunim, nesunim heimaloi. They have been given over. In other words, Aaron the Kohen is in charge, and the Levim are there to serve. So that's the first thing. Then he says, and therefore, because of that, Al Kain, and therefore, b'yayis ha-kayhanim ikur ha-bayis b'avaydas alekeinu, since the Kohanim are the main ones who work in the Beis HaMikdash, they are the chief, if you want to say, zochu b'chof dalet matanis. Therefore, they merited to get 24 presents. We call them the 24 presents of the Kohanim, right? The chof dalet matanis kuhuna. Shenitnu lahem ha-mefayrashis, because of which are given to them, which are clearly stated in the Bible. We're not going to go into that. It's a whole different thing. One day we'll get there. But just quickly, as he says over here, kumay shemanu oisam, chachamim zichrenim levracha, like our rabbis have counted them. And they say, Esther b'mikdash, 10 of these presents have to be actually eaten in the mikdash. The arba b'yushalayim, 4 of them have a holiness which stays in Yerushalayim. The Esther b'gvulin, and 10 of them you can even eat out in the rest of the Eretz Yisrael. But that's not the point. The point is they get 24 presents that the Kohanim get that we separate for the Kohanim. Ushar Shifta, what about the rest of the Shevet? In other words, the rest of the Levim, Shehu Nivchar Imay L'Sayeya Al Yaday, which is chosen also amongst him, so to speak, to help him. Zachu Gam Kein L'Chayis B'Toiva Mibli Yigiyah. They also merit to live well without having to work hard on the field, as we know. How? In Maiser HaPeres Shenaitlim Mikol Yisrael, through the Maiser that we give them. So it's true that the Levim also don't work in the field, but they don't get as many presents, so to speak, as the Kaihanim. That's why when people talk about it, you know, we always say the Levim, they were the poorest of the people, even poorer than the Kaihanim. The Kaihanim got extra things, and they had meat and bikurim and all different kinds of things, which actually ensured that they had even better. But nevertheless, the Levim were supposed to be taken care of by all of us, and they were given enough for them to live well, and that they should be able to devote themselves to Hashem. Just want to show you why. Why do we have this whole thing? So he says a very interesting thing. Luman yeidu v'yisbeinenu, and for all, in order for us to know and for us to think deeply, ki kol chelka b'toiva v'chelek acheyem hisibas ha'avoida l'Hashem. Why do they get it? Because they are serving Hashem. Nitztavu l'aseis mikol asher yitlu mibnei Yisrael. So therefore they were commanded. Now we're asking, why does the Levi have to give some of his away to the Kayin if the Kayin is getting from the entire nation? What's the point? The Levi should just be able to keep everything he gets. He's not getting that much for himself. And then the Kayanim will get from everybody else as well. Why does the Levi have to? So he says a very beautiful thing. Because what that does is, we say like this, Nitztavu lo says mikol asher yitlum b'nei Yisrael chaylek ha'asiri l'mishorsim ha'gadaylim, right? From the tenth that they get from the rest of the Yidden. Uvechein yitnu el libam. What will that do to the Levi? It will make them realize ki yesh gvoyim aleihem, that there is somebody above them. Okay, this is a very interesting thing. Part of the giving is not only to sustain the other person. As we said, when we, in our mind, we think, when we give, we think we're better than the person we're giving to. In Torah, it's the other way around. When you give, it's because the other person is better than you, so to speak, and therefore you have to give them, right? That's, you like owe it to them almost. So it's interesting over here that even the Levi needs to be kept in check, because he's going to get everything from the rest of the Jews. He's going to be given respect by the whole Jewish people. So in order to ensure that he also realizes that somebody is above him, and who is that? The Kaihanim. So he has to designate, take a, literally separate a tenth, and while doing that, that literally it becomes a part of him, that realization that he's here to serve the Kayin, so to speak. Who does the Kayin serve? Hashem. See, the Kayin is spiritual enough to have that awareness that Hashem is above him directly. So he doesn't have to necessarily give to another, because his whole life is a service for Hashem. So it's different. Also, when you're within the presence of the holiness of Hashem, not necessarily do you need that awakening all the time. We can sometimes fool ourselves. Okay, so that's the problem. Okay, so let's see, we'll just quickly finish it inside. As he says, V'gavaya me'al l'chulam, hu shomer hakol yisala, right? The one who guards everybody, which is Hashem. He's above all. Gam ki yesh bazeh z'chus v'chavayt. And this is also a merit for him and an honor. U'mayla l'levim, levilti yigara shma mimitzus maiser b'chelkam batzvu. It's a very beautiful thing. This is another thing. Why are the Levim commanded to give the Kaihanim? So that the Levim shouldn't lose out. What might they lose out? When a Jew comes over to them, a Jew can say, I work in the field. What do? I take something which is physical, just ordinary wheat, and I can use that wheat and transform it into a mitzvah by giving it to you. What do you have? You have nothing. You're just getting wheat. He could say to the Levi, right? So the Levi says, no. Not only are you doing a transformation of the physical by giving it to me, but I also have that privilege, because now I can give to the Kohen. So it's a very beautiful chain, in a way, where we take something which is just ordinary and physical and which we work for to sustain ourselves, and not only do we do that, but we make it into something holy, and then somebody else makes that also into something holy by being able to give it away to somebody else. There's a beautiful thing also about tzedakah, is that what we're doing is we're taking the normal mundane thing, you know, you bake, even baking a cake, and you give it to somebody else, you're taking that ordinary thing that you've just done, and you've literally transformed it to something beyond holy. So that's a very special privilege, and the Levi doesn't have to feel less than the person who's giving him. This is why it says that many people, even people who have very, very little, should try and give tzedakah, because actually it's such a beautiful mitzvah. It not only, it's so good for you spiritually, but even in, just in your whole way of thinking and in your whole way of approaching life, it gives you such a lift. So you can see that the Levi, that's not taken away from him, that special gift. It's a very beautiful thing. So it says, because the Jews might say to him, Zechisem betfua v'anachlu b'mitzvah, you get wheat, right? We're giving you wheat, but we get a mitzvah. So now we can say, no, the Levi can say, Yesh Torah v'yesh kemach. I have both. I have the wheat that you've given me, but I also have a mitzvah, because I'm going to give it to the Kohen. Now the Kohen, again, is different, because the Kohen, the Levim only serve a certain amount of time in the Beis HaMikdash. The Kohanim serve more, it seems, and they are more in the presence of Hashem, and therefore their holiness, they feel the holiness in a much deeper way. So for them, it's in a way more, the awareness of Hashem is stronger. It's easier for them to attain. Okay, let's go now. I just want to go about it. Just beautiful things, page number 6, because it's such a beautiful mitzvah. Just see a few more insights. And on the bottom of page number 6, again, the bottom, that we shouldn't, let me just see.
So that wasn't a lot. Thing. It was only a set time for the
Kohanim. What do you mean? In the Beis HaMikdash, they served at certain ages also and certain times, but they were always getting their special presence. And the Kohanim, it seems, had their own special holiness. And you know that the Kohanim have special mitzvah, like, for example, the fact that the Kohen could bless us, that would always be. So there was always that awareness that they had, yeah. It was a bit different to the Levi. The Levi had more designated times, and then the rest of the time he was back in his town and he would serve as a teacher. And yeah, so it was a different type of work.
So the Kohanim were all the descendants of Aaron.
They're all, that's right. All from Aaron, yes. And the rest of the tribe of Levi is just generally from Moshe, yes. From any of them, yeah. We don't know it's from the rest of the tribe.
Moshe was different, though, as a Levi.
Yeah, well, he was his own unique, but his children were Levium. I know, as he even served as a Kohen for one day, but he was a Levi. That's what he's known as. Moshe is a Levi, yeah. And Aaron is the Kohen, yeah. Quite interesting. On the bottom of page 6. So let's see over here, as he says again, this is the thing also not to neglect the Levites by failing to give them their gifts. Again, an insight into this mitzvah of giving the Levim. Mishar she'a mitzvah, lefi she'akel baruch hu chafetz b'tuv ama Yisrael. Hashem wants the good, as we know, this is what he says many times. In other words, he wants good for us. Asher bachar lei la'am, that he has chosen us as a nation. V'ratza lezakaysam v'la'asaysam skula ba'ilama. He wanted to make them meritorious, so to speak, and to make them auspicious and chosen in the world. What should be special about them? Am chacham v'navein, a wise and an understanding nation. Why? Leman yakirum kol re'ehem, in order that not only for ourselves, but that everybody else, and we know that's true, if anybody wants to be honest, it is true. I saw there was just recently a survey, I think amongst Americans, about how much they respect the Jewish people, and actually, it's quite amazing how they hold the Jews in high esteem. People do think of the Jewish people as a more intelligent, as a smarter nation, as a nation who has something which, however they try to explain it, something that they don't grasp, that's something above them. What did you say, Hannah, about it?
Anti-Semitism.
That's the jealousy, I think. But it's the jealousy, because there's something above, exactly. There is just no way to hide it. And this is what Hashem, the truth is Hashem wants. It says, interesting thing, Leman yakirum kol re'ehem, everybody who sees them should recognize, ki heim zera, beautiful language, zera beirach Hashem, that they are a blessed nation descending from God, so to speak. They're specially blessed by God. Anshei emes, they are men of truth. Anshei shame, they are men of a good reputation, right? That's what the Jewish people, well, until we mess up, that's the reputation that we are supposed to keep, that's right. Since this is what Hashem wants, so what did he do? He made sure, so he gave different things that would help assure this. So let's see, one of them, so he tried to find all different ways to make this happen, to cause this to happen. That we should be involved in wisdom, right? That's what we should be busy with. V'tamit kol hayoyim yaleha shoyktim. That we should always be busy with, obviously, learning and doing things of higher intellectual and moral things. And so how did he do it? One of the things he did, v'hinig v'sidar ha'isam b'min hagim nechayinim, and also obviously he made us have good conduct, right? He made us assured for us that we should have pleasant and good customs, b'nimusim yikarim v'chazakim, right? And ways that are, nimusim are the way we conduct ourselves, that it should be proper, right? Many of the mitzvahs will, if we do them properly, will assure that we behave well, right? Like we have good conduct, so to speak, right? We're good students, if you want to say, and we follow the rules. Leman yilmedu, why? Ladas es Hashem, so that we should know to learn and to understand and to come close to Hashem. Miktanam v'ad gdeilam, from the small to the big, every single Jew. V'yamid zarem ushmam kayam la'olam, right? And that we should stay firm and their name should endure forever. So one of the things that Hashem did, umin hachukim hamachazikim v'hamamidim hachokma b'seicham, one of the things to ensure that this wisdom will remain within us, a very smart thing Hashem did, hayaliyos shevet echad kulay v'hem mibli chelek v'nachala b'karkais, that he decided that one of the tribes will not get an inheritance amongst in the land, so amongst the people. So in other words, there will be one tribe that will never be involved in agriculture. Why? Not that agriculture is a bad thing, it's a good thing, but we need one tribe that's free from that. V'lo yetzei asodeh, he won't go out to the field, lacharesh, to plow, v'lizroy, and to plant, and to lachbar, and to dig, b'yreis lahashkos, right, to dig all these different holes, and to deal with irrigation. V'chol zeliyei siba eilav, lahaitzi itoisav. Why? Because this will cause him to spend his time, al kalponim, lilmeid chochmais, to learn wisdom, u'lahavin darchei akel ha'yishoris, to understand the correct way of God. They will be able to, so to speak, give themselves over totally to learning and to spending time with understanding the depth of Yiddishkeit. V'heima yayru mishpatav, and they will in turn teach it, the laws, l'acheim, to their brothers, b'chol medina, u'b'medina, in every single country, b'chol areas, and all the different cities. And therefore, what's going to happen now? So if this nation, if this tribe doesn't have land, what's going to happen? V'alkein b'yais ha'shevet as a nifcharhu, since this tribe is chosen, v'zarei laylam, and his descendants forever, el esek ha'chachma, to be involved in this, obviously, learning, v'hatvuna, and wisdom, v'kol Yisrael tzrichim levakesh Torah m'piyam, and we all have to ask them to teach us Torah, u'lahaskim daitam, v'laleches achar atzasam, and actually to listen to them, right, and to go according to their directives and their instruction, k'chol asher yoyru oisam, as in whatever way they teach them, hayomir tzaynei sheyisapku lahem acheyim kol mechiyosam, obviously, we have to make sure that they have what to eat, otherwise they can't do it, pentis balach achmasam b'chem, because otherwise, if they're busy with other things of making money, well, they won't have time to spend to learn properly. So this is a very beautiful way that Hashem ensured. It's everything is like so exact. One tribe set aside, designated, who will be free to learn, free to involve himself in all the ruchniistic things, but obviously his responsibility is to teach others. But therefore, it's our responsibility that he should be free to be able to learn. That's why the pasuk is very careful and actually warns us a few times. He shomer and pen, right? That you be careful, you must be careful not to withhold from him. Levilti azvam, that we shouldn't leave them, right? We shouldn't, so to speak, make them, that they shouldn't have anything. Levilti is rashel, klal b'chol inyana, we shouldn't be, so to speak, lazy. We shouldn't hold back from making sure that they have all of their needs. V'hizkir lahem ba'azhara ha'adama sha'amar kol yamecha al admasecha, right? And it specifies all the years that you will live on the land. Loimar, his harum ma'oid bahem, you should be very, very careful with them. Ki lachem nachalas ha'adama, because Hashem has given you the portion of land. Sha'amar kol yamecha al admasecha, sorry, v'Hashem hu matzmiach zeirueha, because Hashem is the one that actually causes everything to grow. Very important language. Don't think, don't even consider being prouder than them. Hagvir, very interesting language. He is really the wealthy one. Don't think you're the wealthy one because you own the land. Even though he says, very interesting thing, I want to show you something. It's a fascinating thing that's still from then till now. What is the biggest security wherever people live always? When you own land, right? You always feel if I have a property, I'm fine. You know, that's the way people think. South Africa, unfortunately, showed you differently, but most of the time it does work, as he says. Oy nemer shaskaras adama, why do we mention land when it talks about supporting the levy? Hu leimer ki tzarichu eilecha al kol panim, even though he needs you. Sh'ata bal hanachla, right? Because you are the one who owns the land. V'akol tzrichan ala, and everybody needs land, because we know, sh'kol mi she'ein lo karka, anybody who doesn't have land, afilu yesh lo kama ksafim, even if he has a lot of money. Tzarichu rachamim, he needs compassion. Why? Ki akol hu min akarka, right? Everything comes from the land. It's the same as them. Ve'ein kol davar kayem lo adam, nothing sustains, so to speak. Nothing is as, if you want to say, as keeping with the time and something that you can actually have security. Sheyehe libay samuch alav kamayu. Nothing gives you security as much as when you own land, and as well as in those times, especially when they actually ate from the land. Ubale hakarkais heim hamegadlim egle, and he goes through a whole description. I'll just read this part in English. He says, all comes from the land, he says. It is the owners of the land who raise calves in stalls and swans, these are on page 8, in sheds, and they have fatted hens and pigeons in the dovecot and goats and sheep, and whatever it is, right? They have everything, as we say. Yaviu lohem aivde hadame bikoil eila bechagim. So what should we do? We know that the way of the world is that when there's a king, the people, what do? When it comes to the festivals, they take from the best of their land and they bring it as a present to the king. As he says, "Hus haru b'nei Yisrael la'aseis k'may kein la'levim." We are commanded to do the same thing to the Levi. Because of the Kama Mekaymes. That's why it's mentioned many times in many places. But Amre HaLevi Asher B'Sharecha, the Levi which is in your gates, Loi Sazvenu, right? Don't desert him. Don't leave him. V'inen Amre Asher B'Sharecha, Eina Kavana Sheyachzur Al Psochem Chalila. It doesn't mean that the Levi should come knocking on your door. Rak Loimer She'ein Lein Nachalas Karkais K'may Yisrael, only to show us he doesn't have land. But that doesn't make him less wealthy, it just makes him different. It makes it because his role is different. He's really the wealthy one, is how we should look at him. But nevertheless, we have to make sure to come to him and bring him from the best of what we have. So that's another very beautiful way. There's just one more, and then we'll go back into the Chumash. On page number 9, I want to show you this last one. This is to do with Truma specifically. This is to do with the Kohanim. So we mentioned generally the Levim, but I'll just show you something about the Kohanim. And also, and he says, Mishar Sheha Mitzvah. So again, the last paragraph on page 9, the Fisha Dogam Vatir Shva Yitzar, because we know this is to do with Truma, and Truma is given from the grain, from the wine, from the oil. They are Ikar Michyasan Shalbrias. This is the main thing that sustains us. The Ha'ilam Kulay Lahakadish Baruch. And really, the whole world belongs to God. Al Kain Ro'ila Adam. So therefore, it is good for a person, Lizkar as Bayrait, to remember his creator, Al Habracha Asher Barchai, on the blessings that Hashem has blessed us with. So this is interesting. It's a little bit of a different added thing here. Now we're talking specifically the idea of gratitude. That before we enjoy what we have worked hard for, so to speak, we have to remember where it really comes from and be filled with gratitude that it all comes from Hashem, and He has enabled us to plow and to plant and now to reap and to have all this wonderful, you know, to sow and to reap all this wonderful products of the land. So therefore he says, v'sheyafrish k'tzas mimenu, when a person separates a little bit from it, l'shmai baruch hu, for the sake of Hashem, v'yitnenu l'misharsav, and he gives it to the ones who serve Hashem, which are the kohanim, shehem ha-kohanim ha-asukim tamid b'mlechas shemayim, the ones who are always involved in serving Hashem, terem yiga bayad adam, before you eat from it, right? Before you enjoy it. V'yehanem imenu klal, before you have any pleasure from it. And he says a very beautiful thing about this, that the truth is with truma, there's a fascinating thing. With meiser for the levi, meiser means a tenth. Truma, there's no amount in the Torah, none. Which technically, you can take a drop and then you would be fulfill your obligation. The Chachamim have given certain amounts. The Rabbanim did designate more, but even that's a lot less than Meiser, either a 40th, a 50th, a 60th, whatever it was for the Truma, for the Kohanim. But it's interesting, why even a drop? So he says a beautiful thing, because what's the idea? And this is something also, a very powerful lesson for us generally, he says. On page number 10, this is the last page of this, Umin HaYisayid HaZef, from this foundation, Omru Zichreinam Levracha, that's our rabbis teach us, Sha'afilu Chita Achas, even one like stalk of wheat, if you want to say, Paiteres Es HaKeri, will actually, will free, so to speak, the rest of the crop. Why? Because to remember that there is a master upon something, ein hefresh bein rav lamat, doesn't matter a lot or a little. What matters is that before you start to enjoy it, you remember that there's somebody else in control. It's not really yours. It's Hashem's. So just for that awareness, you just have to do something, however small. However, he says, Amnam, that's what Hashem says, but still the rabbis know that what? Levracha Yisifu Badavar, they added. Loseis by Shir Roy, they did give a certain designated amount. Why? Kadesh Yisair Lev HaAdam B'inyin Yoyser. Because they wanted our hearts to be awakened even more. Ki Bihi Yoyis HaAdam Bal Chaymer. Because I guess being they are people, the Chachamim, and they know human nature. And since we are men of flesh and blood, right, and we are just physical people, La Yoshis Libay Al Adavar Hamuat Kimoy Al Hamiruba. Even though giving a little bit still makes us aware, but if you give a little bit more, you're more aware. So that's the human nature. That if you designate a bit more, that awareness will be more ingrained in us, that there really is a master and there really is somebody who we should be filled with gratitude, because it's not from our own work, as we say. Ki bi yisad, as he says, shemale einav, that it should fill his eyes. V'ya'idu olav yisar tnu oisav, right? And it will actually, as we say, testify more, and he will do more. Kederech hateva ba'adam v'ergelel, just like the nature of man. What's the human nature? She yismach b'maychel rav. We actually get happier with more food. In other words, when we go to the store and we buy more, we're even happier, right? That's the physical person, so we see things in quantities, not necessarily in just the quality of the matter, but the quantity also makes a difference. And because of that, the Chachamim did add and say, you have to give a certain amount, because they wanted us to really, really, really feel this, that there is a master, there's somebody above, and that we have to thank him, and we have to give to the one who served him before we can enjoy what we have just had. I just wanted to see. That's all. That's the end of this. Okay, beautiful. Now, well, yes. Truma specifically. Yes, this was the last. Okay. So now that we've seen the Truma and the Meiser, let's see. Just there's one more. If you go back now into the Chumash Psukim, to the booklet that has the Chumash. So we were on page, we only did one Pasuk. My God. Anyway, whatever. Two Psukim. It's Parshia, two Psukim. That's how long it is. Page 292. Yeah, these sheets. That's right. You don't have one, but here's one right here. Here we go. Okay, so we'll see the next pasuk. We won't go too much at length in this pasuk, but we'll just read. It's pasuk chaf tes, so it's the last two words on the page. Kein taaseh, so you shall do, l'sharcha, l'tzaynecha, to your ox, to your sheep. What should you do? Shivas yomim yihye im imay, right? That's the next page, page 293. 7 days it should be with its mother. Bayayim hashmini, Titnai Li. On the eighth day, you may present it to me. I want to show you what is this pasuk talking about. The only way we can understand, let's look into Rashi. What's he mean? So he says like this. Rashi says, I think I must have, I'm just trying to think. Oh, you see, it's connected to the pasuk before. Bechor banecha titen li. That was the end of the previous pasuk. That you should give me the bechor, the firstborn of your sons. And then he goes on to the animals. That you should also give me the firstborn of your animals. Who do you give it to? To the Kohen, right? That's who you give it to. So let's see what Rashi says. He says a very interesting thing. He says, the truth is that when it comes to our children, how do we do it? We know. Liftoisai b'chamesh slayim, that we redeem him with the 5 coins. And if you've ever seen a pigeon, aben. Yeah, it's a beautiful mitzvah, right? We give to the Kohen the 5, whatever it is of the currency that you give, the half dollar, the dollars, whatever it is, the silver that you give to the Kohen. That's how you redeem your firstborn child, right? But then he says, an interesting thing. Why, he asks, if you go, now let's go to page 293, and we'll look into the Rashi on 293. He asks, why are we mentioning this mitzvah of pidgin haben here? It doesn't even talk too much at length, it just really talks more about the animal. Why do we mention the children? And we already have this mitzvah. So he says, v'haloi kfar tziva aleha alav b'makei macher, we've already been commanded somewhere else. Ella k'dei lismaychlai, rather it is in order, as we say, to juxtapose. What does to juxtapose mean? It is teaching us something because it's putting it next to the mitzvah of the firstborn animal. What are we learning? So he says a very interesting thing. Kain ta'aseh l'sharcha, so you shall do to your ox or to your flock. What does that teach us? Ma bechar adam, when you talk about the firstborn of a person, when do you redeem them? After 30 days, right? We know it's only done when the child baby is a month old. Shleishim yoim, right? Paideyu. Shenemar feduyav mi ben chaydesh tifta, right? That's when you can do it, when they're a month old. So we learn also, af bechar behema daka, so too, interestingly, in the case of the firstborn of small cattle. And what's small cattle? Small cattle, interestingly, are goats and sheep. They also, you have to take care of it for 30 days, and only afterwards, vach. You can give it to the kayin. So you don't give it to the kayin before, for 30 days it stays with its mother, so to speak, and you take care of it, and only afterwards can you give it to the kayin. But then we go on and we explain the next pasuk quickly. I want to just show you in the Rashi of 29, he says, Shivas yamim yihyeh im ima. So for 7 days it stays with its mother, right? We said, and the 8th day you can give it to me. So what does that mean? Because we just said 30. So he said a very interesting thing. Zu hashara lekayin. This is actually a prohibition for the kohen. What does that mean? She'im bal maharas karbanai, if the kohen comes to hasten his sacrifice, in other words, if the person gave the kohen an animal before, like it's younger, he's allowed to give it from when it's a week old, but or whatever, maybe he gives it earlier. He says an interesting thing, the kohen lo yimahar kaidim shmeina, he cannot bring a karban with it before its 8th day. Lefi shehu mechusar zman, because it's lacking the minimum time requirement. A very, very interesting thing. I'll show you on the bottom. Look what he says. He says interesting on number 6. The kohen has the right to demand that the owner of the firstborn animal take care of it until it is 30 days old, right? That's what we said. But what happens if the person doesn't want to keep it for 30 days? The kohen chooses, he could take it before 30 days, but he cannot sacrifice it before 8 days. So even if the person does give it to the kohen still has to hold on to it at least until it's 8 days old. Before that, it cannot be brought as a sacrifice. That's just an interesting mitzvah on the side. We're not going to go too much at length into this mitzvah. I just want to show you, we could do one more, okay. Let me just see something. Yeah, so it, and it shows us how we learned it. We learned it because of the same words that are used. Let's go on now to Pasuk Lamed. Here we have another interesting mitzvah. Again, these mitzvahs don't seem to be so connected. We are talking about Meiser and Truma. Maybe that's why it mentions it, because you give the firstborn to the Kayin. But let's see the next one. The next one is not connected, but it does have to do with animals. So what's the next mitzvah? Pasuk Lamed. The Anshei Kodesh Tiyulin, that you should be holy. A people of holiness shall you be unto me. And what does a people of holiness here mean? Ubasar basade treifa loisaychelu. You shall not eat flesh in the field that has been torn. We know what treifa means. We use the word a little bit loosely. But treif specifically doesn't mean pig. It means an animal which hasn't been shechted properly. That's treif, right? So an animal which was destroyed in the field by another animal, that we don't eat. We eat only animals which were shechted. And if we do this, if we're careful, then we are holy. That's what the pasuk says. There's another interesting thing in the pasuk, and we'll see in a minute where that comes in. He says, lo yisaychelu, you shouldn't eat it. What should you do with it? La kelev tashlichun oisai. You should throw it to the dogs. Why? Why the dogs? Okay, so let's see first the first part of the mitzvah. Very interesting. This is a fascinating mitzvah. Oh my gosh, time went so fast. Okay, you know what? I'll just tell you why we should throw it to the dogs, and less time we'll learn this. It's a very beautiful thing. You know, if you go back in Chumash Shmos, it'd be when the Jewish people were about to leave Egypt, and it came to the specifically the plague of the firstborn. Do you remember the pasuk it says there? By the plague, it's a very funny pasuk. It says that everybody will be screaming and there's going to be a noise that you've never heard before in the whole land of Egypt, right? Because all the firstborns are going to die. But then it makes an interesting statement and it says, for the Jewish people, lo yechratz kelev l'shaynai. The dogs will not bark. They will not raise their voices. We're near the Jewish people, which means it's a very funny language over there. But the idea is that the Jewish people won't be any screaming, and even the dogs won't be barking by the Jewish people. And the very interesting thing, it's a fascinating thing, that the dogs will show respect, so to speak, for the Jews, because the dogs bark when they're either annoyed or they think something dangerous is happening, something they don't like, but they will be more like tame and they will be allowing the Jewish people to keep their calm and their cool, and there will be like no fear and no excitement in a negative way. And Hashem tells us something so amazing. Anytime that it happens, if you have an animal, let's say if you own an animal and unfortunately another animal came and tore it up. So now what are you going to do with it? It's waste, right? You can't eat it because it's not kosher anymore. So Torah says, first give it to a dog. Why a dog? As a thank you, to remember what they did for you when you left Egypt. The idea is, the Chachamim say, such an amazing thing, that if we have the awareness that we are meant to have gratitude even to a dog, of course we're going to have gratitude to another human being, and for sure to Hashem. The idea of remembering even the smallest kindness that anything or anybody does for us, it's so important that even in the Torah it gives like a mitzvah almost to say what you should do with this. It's quite a powerful idea, just such an awareness that we have. So the gratitude and the awareness of never forgetting anything that any creature or person has done for us. Quite a powerful thing. Yeah. So